Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen, amen. Okay, so we just want to explore that verse in a very brief way in this session. Amen, amen. Okay, now it's important to remind ourselves of the things that we've learned so far in this conference. Praise God. It's important, you know, to understand the genesis of your spiritual practices and exercises. Amen. Reverend explained to us, you know, how that resurrection, okay, is the fullness of joy. Okay, how that God fashioned a spirit for himself, of course, the recreated human spirit, how that he fashioned that for himself, okay, and that spirit is the fullness of joy. Glory to God. In Psalm chapter 16, we'll come back to Nehemiah. Psalms chapter 16 from verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall rest in hope, okay, in expectation or in anticipation. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Can you see that? So that means in hell, Jesus rested in hope, in expectation, in anticipation. I've told you over and over again that Jesus didn't go to hell like his body was in the grave or the sepulchre. Are you there? I'm not saying he didn't go to hell. He did, right? But he didn't go as though, you know, the way they wrapped his body and just put it in the tomb, that's the way he went to hell. And he was just there. And then on the third day, we began to see drama. No. Amen? Yes, he went with the sins of mankind, but Jesus went to hell in confidence of the truth of God's word. He believed and he spoke out all that the prophets have said. He put faith in all that the prophets have said. So Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11 is like the words of Jesus in hell. Hallelujah. In Psalm 22 and verse 1, David cried out by prophecy and said, my God, why art thou forsaken me? Okay? And that is what Jesus said on the cross. On the cross, when he became sin for us. When God forsook him. Okay? That is, God left him. He cried out on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That should be Matthew 27, 46 or 49, something around that area. Okay? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why thou forsaking me? So Jesus said that on the cross, but David had spoken ahead of time. Remember 1 Peter 1:10-11, of which salvation the prophets required, who said the lineage of the grace that should come unto you, searching what all man of time, the Spirit of Christ was redeemed to signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Okay, so the testimony or the prophesying of the prophets, okay, were the testimony of Jesus. That is, they were testifying concerning Jesus. They were saying what shall be. Okay, so what David said in Psalm 22 and verse 1, Jesus said on the cross. In other words, David by the Spirit spoke ahead of time that God will forsake Jesus for humanity. Hallelujah. Hey, are you there? that God will forsake Jesus for humanity. Okay, so the same way in Psalm 16, from verse 8 to 11, David spoke ahead of time. Glory to God. Okay, of course, you could read the whole chapter. Preserve me, O God, for indeed do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extended not to thee. To the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. And then he goes on. Okay, look at verse 7. I'll bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel, my reins also instruct me in the night season. So verse 8, I have said the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine only one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Remember the word presence, right? Appearance, which would mean resurrection. In your presence. In your presence. Is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Okay, so the path of life is the resurrection. The presence is the resurrection. The fullness of joy is the resurrection. Of course, the right hand, the resurrection. Hallelujah. So, by the resurrection, God has brought his plan to fruition. To completion. God has achieved his plan in the earth. Amen? I mean, that's something to shout, dance about. It has worked and it has ended. Amen? When you read Genesis 2, I mean, you should read with revelation. And it says, God rested. He rested from his work. Hallelujah. That's prophecy. That's prophecy. Because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, where is workmanship? Hallelujah. Where is workmanship? The best of his creation. Glory to God. So imagine God is a sculptor. Okay? He carves and he brings out beautiful images and creations. And then he went to work. And then he spent time. Let's describe this according to man. He started in the morning. It wasn't done. When it was time to close, he stayed back in the office. Amen? He worked overnight, worked the following day, worked overnight again, worked the day after, and worked. And then 3 days he was done. And by the time he finished that work, he brought it out and said, this is the best I've ever made and will ever make. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You must see the redemptive work of Jesus as a work. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. As the moment where he fashioned out the best of his creation. Hallelujah. Say, where is masterpiece? Hey, come on. Say, where is masterpiece? Say, we are the best of his creation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to his name. Say, I'm God's work. Hallelujah. Say, I'm God's work. Okay. So, the resurrection is the completion, the accomplishing of God's desire in the earth. Okay? So, say he will never do something better is not to say that, I mean, he's not God again, or we're putting him in a box. No. Because that's what he said. Okay, we are not trying to say it. That's what he said. He rested from his work. Praise God. He said it was done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So, there is a need to then grow in that revelation. God said it's done. I remember years ago, I was in a meeting. We were praying at that time, and someone was praying, God, I think we were praying from, where is that place again? Is it Jeremiah 18? Is it Potter? You are the clay. I think we were praying from that region. I was a part of a body, so we were praying around that. And then someone was in the meeting. I was just praying, God, break me and mold me again and again. Again and again. Okay? And I mean, I was getting disturbed. All right? And then God just asked. God can be humorous. Amen? It just, as though in my head, he answered that guy. He said, into what? Amen? Break me and mold me again. You are the potter, I am the clay. Make me as you like. You just mold me, mold me. Mold me, mold me. Just mold, mold, mold. Amen? By the resurrection, you have come into an eternal mode. Hallelujah. It will never answer that prayer to break and mold again. Well, if the breaking and the molding is in your mind, he will answer it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Yeah. So don't be shaped into this world's mold. Because there's a mold that he has made you. Don't be shaped into this world's mold. That's be not confirmed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? So, in the light of what God has done and accomplished, it is not break me and mold me again and again. Yes, I understand what you may be thinking, right? But, he has made you. Hallelujah. Praise God. He has made you. That's what your confession should be. Thank you, Father, for who you have made me. Thank you, Father, for what you've made me. Thank you because I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you because I'm seated with you at your very right hand. Hallelujah. I'm seated in the position of all authority. I'm seated in the position of highest degree and honor. That's what you should be saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so you, yes, ought to grow in that revelation, but you must realize what he has already done. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So the next time you read Genesis 2:2-4, I mean, see with the eyes of revelation what God was saying there. He said he rested. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He sees from his work. God said he was done. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't tell him to start again. I can't find a fault in what he has done. No. Then I'm his examiner. Then I'm his supervisor, right? I cannot. Amen? So what I must do is to acknowledge what he has already done. So the resurrection is how God brings men into the position, the place where he wants them. The resurrection is fullness. The resurrection is completeness. The resurrection is wholeness. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, Reverend spent time again and again to make you realize that yes, there's victory in Christ. Your work or your responsibility is in the experience of what he has done and in the manifestation. Don't tamper with what he has done. Hallelujah. Don't. With your thoughts, your words, your actions, don't tamper with what he has done. Okay? Don't get into God's gallery and begin to say that this was not well done. Oh, who are you? Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So, the revelation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the driving force, the motivation for Christian living. In Ephesians 1, from verse 15, since today we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. No, that's Colossians, right? Everything has jammed together. Glory to God. Holy jam jam. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, Lord Jesus, and love all to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of me in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the essence of insight in scripture, which is revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen, amen. Revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. There is a need to know. God spoke to Kennedy again and said to him that there's a move of God that if not taught, that is the past tense of teach, if not taught, okay, it will be lost. Okay? I mean, there's been a time and a generation and a season where people thought that, you know, teaching is for subjects like the work of redemption, and, you know, this, you know, the resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, you know, but when it comes to the flow of God's Spirit, when it comes to the move of the Holy Ghost, when it comes to those things that they shouldn't be taught, okay, it just happens, you know, you're trying to teach, God will just say, close your Bible, can God say that? Yes, amen, praise God, you know, but God's Word must be taught. Every area, every practice must be taught. And that's the job of a pastor. The job of a pastor is to teach and ensure that the saints of God are growing up in knowledge. Back to Ephesians. We just read Ephesians chapter 1. To see Paul praying for the saints, to have insight, insight. If you look at chapter 3, he still prays for them. For this cause, from verse 14, I bow my knees on the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is in him, that he will grant you according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with mind by God, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. Amen. With all saints, what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and know the love of Christ, who passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby the lying way to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Praise God. So in every area, there's need for growth. There's need to be taught, so that you can match up to what God expects of you. Remember, we quoted Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2. Verse 2 says, that you may prove, or is that verse 1? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Maybe 2, yeah, 2. Amen, amen. So there is need for growth. There is need to be taught. There is need to have revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Knowledge that brings you into an experience. There's need for it. Knowledge that makes you see exactly what God wants you to see. That's revelation knowledge. Praise God. Knowledge that makes you to see exactly what God wants you to see. Now, of course, you may think that that means, I mean, we can just be seeing plenty and many and different things. No, we have one Bible. Praise God. I mean, that's basically two things. To be able to arrive at the writer's intent. You know, it's just like someone said something years ago, and then he writes it down in a way that is not plain. And then you come, you read it today, and you exactly know what the person had in his mind when he was writing. Revelation knowledge. Of course, number two is to be able to ultimately see Jesus as the subject, the message of the scriptures. And of course, the authority. Praise God. Okay, so you must grow in the revelation of the resurrection. You must. You must. Nothing must be able and should be able to cage you. Nothing at all. If Jesus went to hell with the sins of the whole world and came out without it, came out and forgiveness was available to everybody, then I can come out of any situation. Hallelujah. Whether it's my fault or it's not my fault. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. I have resurrection power. I have resurrection life working in me. Hallelujah. I have passed from death to life. I have been translated from darkness into the kingdom of God's own Son. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. I have been settled. I have been sorted. I have been secured eternally. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's something the folks that, I mean, come against, fight against the eternal nature of our salvation and redemption. There's something they are rejecting and losing in their minds. Amen? I mean, that is supposed to help you to see that God is powerful and is faithful and he'll never change. Amen? Is powerful, is faithful, he'll never change. He stands by his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. I mean, he simply said by the prophet, the rain never makes a U-turn. That's my own version. Amen? The rain never comes like this and, ooh, I was just joking. I didn't want to fall. Or the snow, you know? It just stays in the air. You say, ah, you just see snow like this, floating, but the ground is wet. So you wear half coat. something of that nature. I mean, the floor is fine, but you just see snow hanging. The tenth wonder of the world. No, it touches the ground. Amen? You say, as that happens, so my word, it goes forth. And where it goes, it performs what I say, my intent. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. God can be trusted. His word can be trusted. I'm saying that again and again. If you're here under the sound of my voice, or for those participating online, God is faithful. He can be trusted. Glory to God. God is faithful. He can be trusted. Amen, amen. Amen. So the resurrection is fullness of joy. Joy at its peak. Glory to God. Joy at its peak. In Luke chapter 10, Luke 10, Jesus sent his disciples. He appointed 70 of them, and he told them to go out, okay, and preach the kingdom of God. Of course, he instructed them, if you look at verse 9 particularly, okay, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And they went, and they did as it was, as he instructed them. Now, they returned, verse 17, are you there? Luke 10, verse 17. The 70 returned again, how? With joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Through thy name, the devils are subject unto us. Demons are subject unto us through your name. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Aha. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. But rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, there's something you must understand here. Jesus never said, don't rejoice when you see the works of power in demonstration or manifestation. He didn't say that. He didn't say we should trivialize it. Remember in Mark 16, okay? Let's just say, remember. In Mark 16, from verse 17 to 18, and you know, we must read the four Gospels together. Matthew, Mark, Luke are called synoptic Gospels because they are supposed to be read together to have a perfect view, as it were. Okay? Because they spoke about the same thing, but maybe from different angles or perceptions. Now, I would say that, of course, add John to it. and perhaps the first few chapters of the book of Acts. Amen? You know? So he says, sorry, I just lost my thoughts there. I was trying to talk about something. Yeah, Mark 16. Thank you very much. So, what you see, for instance, in Matthew 28:16-20 is no different from what you see from Mark 16:15-20. Okay? So, in Matthew, he says, make disciples of all nations. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So, we verily see in Matthew, discipleship. Right? In Mark, it looks as though, preach. Believe you are saved. Don't believe you are damned. And get out. And that's it. And when you believe, these signs follow you. Cast out demons. You speak with new tongues. You take up serpents. Nothing about any means to you. Lay out on the sick, they recover. Why? Because you have believed. But, Yes, the ability to do such things are resident because you have believed, but it takes discipleship to cause a man to walk in his spiritual reality. Does that make sense? It takes discipleship to cause a man to consistently and effectively walk in his spiritual reality. Amen, amen? Have you had times where unplanned, you prayed for someone and, I mean, they were sick and they got healed instantly without preparing. You didn't even feel like praying. Great. But that doesn't mean that's the order of the day. It takes discipleship for you to now, not only, don't let me say not only, for you to walk in it. Because that would depict consistency. Praise God, amen. So it will take discipleship to conduct yourself in this spiritual realities or in these good works that God has ordained us. So in Luke 10:20, he was not saying, make light of it, don't rejoice. When you see a miracle, even a 2-year-old can walk a miracle. Is that really true? Just make light of it. No! That's not the point. Now, look at what he said. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. So, that the spirits are subject unto you. So, how to read what is following is this. In this, rejoice. That is your foundational reason for rejoicing, is what he now said there. Not that don't rejoice when works of power are in demonstration of manifestation. No. Let this be your ultimate reason. That's what he's saying. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, in verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then, of course, you can read verse 22 as well. In other words, Jesus saw and acted on what he saw. Praise God. I trust the Lord that in a moment from now, visions, revelations multiplied that will cause you to rejoice. I mean, you will see and then you will rejoice. Amen? You will see, you will rejoice. Praise God. It's good to act on God's word. Just rejoice, okay? As God's word has said. But it's better, right? Amen? When you have visions, God just shows you something. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You just see. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. 50 is not hard, says the Lord. 50 isn't hard. I just said that to someone, to my right. Praise God. 50 is not hard. Whatever that is, thank God for it. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Okay. So, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Again, resurrection. Resurrection must be your ultimate, will I say, reason for rejoicing. The ultimate why. Luke 24 and from verse 44. And he said unto them, this is the word I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things of you which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, then openly the understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus is written and thus is behold, Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, are you following? And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. I pray for you. Your Christian experience, your Christian walk will be filled with supernatural experiences. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, people will cherish when Jesus was around. I'm still going to pray for you. You know, people will cherish when Jesus was around. The disciples of Jesus. The things they saw and experienced. That's great. Okay? But you cannot use that to rubbish the reality of his redemption. In the fact that, yes, he's not around physically, but he's present with us. Hallelujah. Amen? He's present with us. But you see, there's something that supernatural experiences and encounters does to your Christian walk. While he was with them, he was parted into heaven. They saw it. Hallelujah. And in Acts 1, when that happened, they were looking. The angel said, why? This same Jesus is coming back. I pray for you. Supernatural experiences in your walk with God. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Supernatural experiences. Yes. Amen? Yes. I just saw something now. Like, you slept on the left side of the... Well, left side if you are on the bed. But right side if you are facing the bed. You slept on the left side. And then you just woke up in the morning, looked to your left, and you saw an angel. Yeah, I saw that now. That will become your experience. Yeah. I say, I don't need to see an angel. The word of God has said that we are come to an innumerable company. You better see. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, there's something it does to you. You will go out that day like this. Amen?
Amen.
You say, wait there. Hallelujah. What? Listen to what I'm praying for you about. Your Christian walk will be filled. Not one in 2023, then the next one is 2026. Filled with experiences. Supernatural encounters. In the name of Jesus. Experiences. Amen?
Amen?
You've wondered how men will say, Jesus walked into my bedroom. It will become normal. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Walk in and point to you. The Lord Jesus himself. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Now, what I'm not saying that, you know, Jesus will come physically. And I mean the vision of the Lord Jesus that you will have will be so real. 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 In the name of Jesus. Real. 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 I said real. 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 They saw, you will see. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Spirit. They saw, you will see. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are angels behind. Yep. Yeah. Don't forget. Reverend taught us, you take. I say, yes. I mean, you can just say, okay, I want to see. Or I want to take what they brought. Amen? Amen? The activities. Yeah, yeah. Activities. Yeah? Praise God. Praise God. Someone behind there. Yeah, touching your tongue. I just saw that now. Touching your tongue. Your tongue. Your tongue. Your tongue. Touching your tongue. Yeah. Touching your tongue. Touching your tongue. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me help you. Those of you here, yes. Just lift your hands. Right? Just lift your hand and see what's going to happen. Yes? There's a tangible experience or an encounter that you guys will have now. Just here, right now, in the name of Jesus. Yeah? Take what you came for. Take what you came for. Take what you came for. Yep. Thank you, Lord. You. It's not difficult. Yes, you. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. It's easy. It's not difficult. It's easy. It's not, yeah? It's not difficult. It's easy. You begin to reproduce. Reproduce. Yeah. You will call folks for a prayer meeting and you will become Holy Ghost encounters. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Sit if you can. Sit if you can. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from heaven. It came to pass and carried up into heaven. Say, I'm open for more. Say, I'm open for encounters. Regular, regular, regular. Amen? Regular. Say, my evangelisms are full of encounters now. Full of encounters. Encounters. Hallelujah. I just saw something now, and I release that to you. It looks like it will happen for some. Okay? After this conference. This is what I saw. You went to, as I was talking about evangelism, you went to preach. The person was looking difficult. It looks like a scroll will just drop like this. And you start reading. Information that have never been disclosed. You start reading like this. Reading. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. For those who are not used to this, I'm not saying that, you know, a physical scroll will drop. I mean, you will see, it will be clear. It will be like God gave you expo. Amen? God gave you expo. Just say this, and that. And that had to be open. And then by wisdom, just quickly slip Jesus inside. Praise God. And you close it. Eternal closure. Amen. Hallelujah. Equipping has begun. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Take your seat. Glory. Amen. I mean, I just can't seem to get past this verse. It came to pass. Hallelujah. It came to pass. You know, it's possible to say, and it came to pass, while he was reading Luke 24:51, the pain left. And it left. The pain was carried away. It came to pass. No, they were thinking about it. They were wishing that it would be carried away. No, it came to pass. Hallelujah. Your Christian walk will fill your experiences. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes. You take God's power. Yeah. Oh, yes. You. Woo-hoo. Glory to God. Yeah, I remember something I saw. Yeah, after the first session, I saw it. And it's for those online. It looks like from your screen, whatever you're watching from, TV, phone, tablet, it's like from your screen, there will be light bolts. I don't know how to describe it. Light thunder, something like that. Like something will just go, shout! Amen? Father, let it happen now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. So, Amen. So, let me look away from verse 51. In Jesus' name, I'll cover it. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They returned with joy. I don't have time to look at this. We have done that a number of times. But they returned with great joy. There was a time they were scared. There was a time Peter was afraid of a little girl who told him, he was a part of the disciples. I know you. You know him. That guy that they've arrested. And he denied it. Even though Jesus spoke to him by the Spirit before that time. But here, the disciples, he was going away again and they were joyful. This one was great joy. Great joy. Amen? They were joyful. Something had happened. Verse 53, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They saw the resurrected Christ and they praised and blessed God for it. Hallelujah. That resulted in joy. Now, Nehemiah chapter 8, and let's close there. Nehemiah 8. So you remember what we read? He said, no. It's a holy day. It's holy unto the Lord your God. Don't mourn. Don't weep. Now in verse 10, of course he had told them, eat, drink, even send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared. Those who don't have. in a state where you're supposed to be mourning or weeping, he says, eat and drink. At the same time, be generous. My goodness. Of course, prophecy. For whom nothing is prepared. For this day is only unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Now, the word sorry there is a word that means to carve. Carve. C-A-R-V-E. To carve something out. Or to fabricate. Okay? To carve, that is to fabricate or fashion. Okay? That is like in, or that is used in a good sense. In a bad sense, it's to worry, to pain, or anger. To anger. To anger. So, in the light of what he had told them, he says, for this is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. That is, don't mourn, don't weep. Choose to marry. Are you listening? Don't mourn, don't weep. Choose to marry. See, folks, we can have a great time rejoicing in church, but what you learn in church comes to play when you are faced with life's issues. What do you do alone in the bathroom? Alone in the room when you are at home alone? What do you do in the car when you're alone? How do you reset and change? You reset your thinking and your mindset at certain times, and you change your atmosphere. How do you do that? You choose to be joyful. Amen, amen. Now, he says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, if you look at that on the surface, you will think that it's referring to something called joy, and then it's inside you. And that thing that is inside you is your strength. The word joy here is the word kedva. Zikada. Maybe that must be. I'm mixing it up. The word joy, that's a noun. Then there's another word that's gotten from that word that this now is gotten from, which is the verb. So I can't place them. I'm mixing one of the two up. Either one is kedva, C-H-E-D-V-A-H, almost a V-A-R. C-H-E-D-V-A-H. And then the other one is C-H-A-D-A-H. C-H, so one is kada. And the other is kerva, okay? It's Hebrew, that's why it's sounding like that. Now, this word joy, not to forget the fact that it was gotten from an active word. A word that means to rejoice, to be glad, to make glad, okay? Aside the fact it's gotten from an active word, the word itself, it is better translated rejoicing. So, rejoicing there will put your attention on activity, though it's now. So, it lets you see. So, you now have to see it like this. For the rejoicing of the Lord is your strength. Now, when he says of the Lord, he's not saying the Lord rejoicing, that the Lord is rejoicing. No. A rejoicing that is of the Lord. He says, that's your strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The rejoicing, for the rejoicing of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Your strength is your strength. Amen, amen. The rejoicing of the Lord is your strength. So a man is weak, tired. What does he do? He rejoices. Praise God. That's where you find strength. Amen, amen. Praise God. Say, I don't feel like praying. Sit down. Laugh 10 minutes. I would wonder how you won't feel like. Just sit, just laugh. Amen, amen. I don't feel like doing spiritual activities. I don't feel like going for evangelism. Just run around a bit. Amen. Say, I think I'm ready to pray for the sick now. I think I'm ready to preach now. Amen. Hallelujah. The rejoicing of the Lord is your strength. The word strength, I think I'll just leave out the Hebrew word. Amen. Mahuz, mahuz, mahuz. Ah. Mahuz, 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 mahuz. Mouse. Amen. It means a fortified place. That's your place. Say, once you forget me, rejoice now and stay in your fortified place. Amen. Hallelujah. Get who? Who? Amen. In Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned and they were sent out of the garden, not allowed to come in, and there were cherubims at the gate and then flaming sword just going around like that. Yes, that's from the position of the man that has just sinned and fallen, who is without. That was written. Amen? But the truth of the matter is, when you have believed the gospel and in Christ, you are inside. The cherubims are preventing you from coming out. The flaming sword will not allow you to come out. You are in a fortified place. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Say, get who? 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 I cannot be getted. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. So the rejoicing of the Lord is your defense, your fortified place. A rejoicing that is of the Lord. What does that mean? Number one, the rejoicing is by revelation. Number two, the rejoicing is by the Spirit. By the prompting of the Spirit, by the leading of the Spirit, by the capacity and the ability of the Spirit. The rejoicing of the Lord is your strength, is your fortified place, is your defense, is your force, your fortress, your rock, your stronghold. The rejoicing of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My fortified place. Yeah. The place I find healing. The place I find the motivation to serve the Lord. The place I find visions and revelation. The place that I see the unseen without stress or human effort. Praise God. Hallelujah. The place that I fellowship with God. The place that I come to the reality of the fact that I'm one with the Godhead. That's my fortified place. Hallelujah. That's where I am. Amen, amen. So he says, you're rejoicing. Glory to God. Your rejoicing is your fortified place. Your rejoicing is your strength. Your rejoicing is your defense. Praise God. Amen, amen. That's your defense. Your rock. Your fortress. Your strength. Amen, amen. Praise God. If it has happened, I just saw something now and perhaps it's something someone is going through, or maybe it will later happen, or it's just to encourage you, however it is. Like, you've been working hard, raising men. You raised a few men, And then all of a sudden, this excuse, that excuse. For what I saw, it looked as though you planned a meeting. You got there. Nobody was there. Nobody came. What do you do at that point? You rejoice. You sit down. Let anybody call you crazy. You sit down, and that's your strength. That's your motivation. That's how you will see numbers. That's how you find the strength to start again. Whatever it is. Amen. The rejoicing of the Lord is your strength, your defense, your fortified place. They lied against you. They said you did this. They said you did that. They betrayed you. And you are trying to defend yourself. The joy of the Lord is your defense. The rejoicing of the Lord is your defense. Amen? The rejoicing of the Lord, your defense. Your defense. Your defense. Amen? Your defense. Your defense. Amen, amen. Your strength, your motivation. Your source of happiness and gladness. Amen, amen. So that portion is not to say the joy of the Lord is your strength. You say, no, it's when you act on the fact that you have joy, when you are rejoicing. So the rejoicing of the Lord is your strength. Glory to God. The rejoicing of the Lord, that's my strength. That's my fortified place. Praise God. Amen, amen. Yeah, you, Jumoke, just laugh. Amen. Something is coming off you now. You've carried it for too long. It's okay. Let it go. Laugh, 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 laugh. It's okay. We're rounding up. You can laugh, laugh. Ho, ho. Ha, 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 ha. That's my strength. I'm not ashamed. That's my strength. Praise God. That's my strength. That's my defense. That's my fortified place. Amen, amen. Infection has no place here. Yeah. I'm fortified. Moti Jajesara. Amen. Glory to God. In case you don't understand Yoruba, that means I get Odeshi. Amen, amen. Woo! That's my strength. That's my fortress. That's my fortified place. That's my defense. Yeah.